Owls trying to make it a two-score lead here. With Sumter to the left, Harper to the right. Be back is McKenzie, Terry and Holland to the A's. And the option starts far side. Burks keeping, now pitching Terry, coming right side. He's to the 15, cuts it at the 10, to the 5, touchdown! Touchdown, Shaq Terry! Near side of the field from 26 yards out, and it's 20-7 Kennesaw State. I look to start the possession here. Option starts far side. Burke's going to pitch it. Holland gets around the corner, far side into the open. Down the far sideline, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown, Darnell Holland. He went 63 for the score. Here's King on a give going to the right side. Ball comes loose at the end of the play, and I think the Owls have got it. They do. Anthony Gore jarred it out. Let's see who fell on top of it. Desmond Johnson on the bottom of the pile who got it. Two receivers to the left, two to the right. Todd Macon back in there with Calvert, who takes the snap and drops to throw. Calvert stepping up in the pocket. Calvert's going down at the 15-yard line, sacked from the backside. Desmond Johnson, who got there and dragged him to the ground. Loss of about 9 on the play. Harper to the right, Sumter to the left. They love to throw that fade to Sumter right here. Dropping to throw, Burks is going to fade it. Sumter trying to outleap a man, does one-handed, touchdown! Touchdown, Justin Sumter! Wow. My goodness! How in the world did he come down with that? Spider-Man! A 4-yard touchdown on as impressive a catch as you'll ever see. First and 10 at the Liberty 30-yard line. Under center is Burks. In the inside handoff, McKenzie wide open into the secondary and gone! Touchdown, Jake McKenzie! Jake McKenzie from 30 yards away, right up the gut, and the Owls have regained a 13-point lead. Wow, what a drive and what a play. This is the Final Word Podcast. It's homecoming week as Kennesaw State prepares to take on Gardner-Webb here at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. Well, part of your humble radio crew, we're minus the big guy again, Brian Giffen, Nathan McCreary, and Brandon Joseph joining us here at Fifth Third Bank as we get ready now for Gardner-Webb, but obviously we look back at the Liberty game where you can make the case, certainly the biggest win in the short history of this program, to go up to Lynchburg and beat a team you previously had struggled against. But Coach Bohannon reminded me just a short while ago, every game we play, every week is the biggest game in the history of the program because you got to keep plugging, you got to bring it every week. But looking back at Liberty, guys, 42-28 win, a game that reminded me a lot of the game against Gardner-Webb last year over there, the game at Furman over there last year where, you know, you streak to a big lead and in the second half they rally furiously. But boy, the Owls found a way at the end when they really had to have it to go down the field, not only chew up a bunch of time, convert a huge fourth down, but also score points to put the game away.
And you can go back to the beginning of the season where you kind of circle Liberty, you kind of circle Charleston Southern as those teams that you just haven't been able to get over that hump against those two top-tier teams in the Big South. And you go out to Liberty, you're on the road, you know it's homecoming, and you go into locker room at halftime with a 28-7 lead after Justin Sumter made, and let's be honest, that was a nationally renowned catch. I mean, it was talked about on Saturday night. It was talked about on Sunday by Randy Moss and the NFL folks. So that was a big catch. That was a big moment for Kennesaw State in a lot of ways.
Yeah, for Kennesaw State, that drive, as you mentioned, Gifty, that they scored and put the game away, 5 minutes, 53 seconds, ending in a touchdown, that's huge. That's the way you want to impose your will, especially when a team like Liberty had, albeit an outside chance to get back in the game, but you took the ball, you ate up over a third of a quarter, and then put points up on the board. That translates across all forms, not just to the Liberty game, but for Gardner-Webb and every game forward. That's what you can do to teams that maximize possessions.
Well, the way the offensive line played is one of the things that stands out for me. This offensive line continues to play great football. They have most of the year. You know, now, of course, after starting off a little bit beat up health-wise, now, of course, you essentially have about everybody back.
they were firing off the ball. They were blowing open holes on the inside, which, of course, opened things up on the outside. Al was only attempted like 9 passes in the game and completed 2 of them. And as we joked about Saturday night, Nathan, they roll up 500 yards of rushing, only to get it back to 498 by taking a knee 3 times.
I think you'll take it, though. The victory formation
no doubt
is something that you want to be in at the end of the game. But going back to the offensive line, the first couple games, how many chop blocks did we hear get called? How many false starts did we hear get called? And we knew that with losing your big center last year and you're replacing the center and a lot of questions around that, and then you start seeing those penalties and penalties mount, a lot of those chop blocks and cut blocks that have to take place because the offensive line's moving, well, those are starting to disappear, and now you're not hurting yourself as much. You're not shooting yourself in the foot on some of these drives, and sustainable drives for Kennesaw State is their bread and butter. That's how this Kennesaw State football team is built.
And we said it during the North Greenville game and the Texas Southern game. There was times that your offensive line was getting outplayed, and to be able to write that by the time you get in the conference play is huge because those are the money games. So you're figuring out your ills in the non-conference, so by the time you get to conference game, you fire on cylinders, and 500 yards of rushing shows that the offensive line kind of figured out everything that was wrong with it by this point in the season.
And adjustments made by the defense very early after Liberty goes down the field, 75-yard drive, punches it right into the end zone. You know, they came to play right away. They sent the message, we're here and we're not going away. And, boy, the Owls, did they ever respond. They made adjustments defensively. And, of course, the rest is history, as they say, as, you know, the defense stopped them repeatedly until very late in the game and gave the offense the opportunities to score essentially every time they had the ball in the first half of this one.
That's second drive, Shaq Terry had 2 20-plus runs, and that really punched Liberty in the mouth. And I think I talked to you. I was on the elevator up from the sidelines after the game, and one of the administrators or the coaching staff for Liberty said, y'all punched back. We weren't expecting it, and we never recovered from that first drive.
Yeah, Liberty had, 40 or 50 yards rushing on that first drive alone with Mosley. They ended the game with 103.
Right.
Talk about making an adjustment and just having it. And football is a game of adjustments. So you make that adjustment and you have it work out. And then to boot, you played very well in pass defense. You took away every option that Liberty had. Liberty thought they can run the ball, establish a run, and then throw the ball around with Buckshot Calvert. Well, no, you took away the run. You played very well in pass defense. You left Liberty with no options to move the ball until late in the game when basically you're playing defense, a prevent, you know, soft coverage, just not to give up big plays to make them use up time. So Kennesaw State, a 100% superb A-plus defensive performance.
You know, I talked to Coach Bohannon just a little bit ago, and one of the points he made, and they've made really since camp, was that this now is a player-led team.
Right.
And as a player-led team, you know, we saw it in the North Greenville game. We saw it in this game, and I'm talking about on the late scoring drive to kind of salt the game away. Those leader players put it on their shoulders and got everybody else to hop on for the ride. And what a difference that makes from a couple of years ago where all the talent in the world was here, but a lot of times it comes down to mentality and you know, want to and all that stuff. And these leader players really stepped up in both those games where the game was on the line and the money was right there for you.
And I'm not sure if this is the first game where Chandler Burks really just really commanded this game from the beginning to the end. He never saw Daniel David come into the game. They weren't going to interrupt that flow that Chandler Burks had. 25 first downs on the ground for Kennesaw State. In the last two quarters, Kennesaw State held the ball for 9.5 minutes in the third quarter and 10.5 minutes in the fourth quarter. I mean, you want to talk about phenomenal team or player-led team football. That's what you wanted for Kennesaw State Owls. That's what you had to have, because Liberty rallied with the best thing they could, with the best option they could, and Kennesaw State was able to weather that storm.
And for Kennesaw State, for it being a player-led team, with that comes a sense of urgency. And as you guys mentioned, the biggest games for this program in history are ahead of them. Presbyterian, then Charleston Southern, then Monmouth. All those games are big games because the ultimate goal is to win the Big South. And those are the big games. So that sense of urgency finally set in amongst the players, like, hey, this opportunity is right here for the taking. We have to take it. The coaches can't tell us to take it. We have to physically go out and take it.
And Chandler Burks, you were talking about a moment ago, the game that he played was phenomenal, of course, distributing the ball. Funny thing about it is Turner Gill said last week prior to the game, well, one of the things that you have to do against this team is get them off the field, like right. you do any team, but they possess the ball. Well, even though they knew that, and that's their game plan, 38 minutes, 38 seconds of possession time, kind of hard to beat somebody when you don't have the ball and can go score. But Chandler Burks, as many plays as he made, as well as he commanded the offense, I think he set a serious tone, even though it was late in the first half before he said it, when he ran over Solomon McGinty on the sideline. That fired everybody up over there as much as any touchdown, any play made in the game.
And I got a chance to – it was right at my feet when he laid the wood right there on the sidelines. And, well, that fired the entire team up, and you know, it was really tough homecoming, and they had a huge crowd there. Your backs are to students yelling, and I get to give Liberty's students credit. They knew all the players' names. They were calling them out. You know, I mean, it was a great fun atmosphere, but it was hostile. And when you lay the wood to one of the Liberty guys on your sidelines,
one, no less. Yeah,
that's right. And the crack of the pads and the helmet, and Chandler Burks is the one getting up fired up. Boy, that Liberty, the air was out of the balloon.
That, and you talked about it again earlier, getting punched in the mouth and responding. That's what they did. They punched them in the mouth. And for Kennesaw State, you mentioned the time of possession also. 30-plus minutes of time of possession on those touchdown drives, over 21 minutes resulting in touchdowns. 21 minutes, I'm possessing the ball, and I'm putting up six at those clips. That makes it hard for any team to stay in the game emotionally and physically.
Well, Coach Bohannon alluded to it a little bit ago when I talked to him that, you know, he felt as though the Owls kind of went into a little bit of a cruise control mode there, and it shows that Liberty's an explosive team and a team that can score points quickly. And, you know, the difference maturity-wise is that you withstood it. You know, you right. stemmed the tide, you got the ball back, and when you had to have a score, the offense found a way to go down there and get it. There were a couple – there are always little things that you look at when you look back at a game that make huge differences. I thought when Liberty forced that interception, when Chandler threw that interception early in the second half, and the Owls turned around and knocked Damian King out of the game and got the ball right back, that's a huge momentum moment in that game.
Yeah, and there were no points off turnovers. They had the one turnover for Kennesaw State, but the Owls had 14 points off the yeah. Liberty turnovers. And you know what? Championship teams cash in on turnovers and mistakes by your opponent.
And championship teams, their defense picks up their offense when they make a mistake and vice versa. So in that situation, Burks throws the interception. What does the defense do? Hey, we got you. We pick you up. We get the ball back, and then we get points.
We said this last week, and we talked about how it played such a factor when these teams met last year, that special teams would be a big factor in the game. Well, look at it from this angle. The Owls covered kicks tremendously, like they did the week before, and they covered punts very well, better than they did the week before. On top of that, Mackenzie Billingsley breaks through, gets his hand on a punt, advantage Owls.
Since game two, Kennesaw State's special teams hasn't been an area that you think, oh my gosh, you know, are we going to allow a kickoff return? Are we going to allow a big punt return? How about a field goal? They've actually been pretty solid, and that's something that, you know, Brian Bohannon talks about 100% football all around three phases. Special teams hasn't been a problem.
And the benefit of Beamer ball to block a punt, to force a bad punt, give field position to steal points that way, that's the best way. That's the easy way to get points because that's so overlooked. People take punting for granted. So if you're able to put an emphasis on that, block a punt, force a shank, get field position, steal seven, steal three, that's a benefit for the Owls.
Between that and turnovers, that's a pretty darn good formula. Now we turn our attention, guys, to Gardner Webb. We've talked a lot about Tyrell Maxwell. We've seen a lot of Tyrell Maxwell. He's really the premier threat on their team. This is a guy that's in the discussion for the offensive player yeah. of the year every year that he's been in the league. And as much as their record is 1-5, it's a little misleading in that, of course, they've played playoff teams from a year ago, and they also played an FBS team, Wyoming. So this is no gimme. You're going to have to go and play four quarters and beat these guys.
You got to know what kind of player Tyrell Maxwell is, and he's 6'2", 231 pounds. He only completed 8 of 26 passes, but he ran for 138 against yep. NC Central. So that's the kind of player he is. He's dynamic. He's big. He's a scrambling quarterback. Kennesaw State's defense is going to have to be ready to get outside and contain play some contain and maybe spy that quarterback a little bit.
Contain, spy, and cover. Those are going to be the things. You're going to need that second level, that third level, to cover throughout the beginning, middle, and end of a play, because we see this a lot with Chandler Burks, with Daniel David. The fact that they're able to keep plays alive, be elusive, defenders just let it slip that, hey, I need to cover from snap to whistle, and then that's how big gainers happen. So now you have to have that as a point of emphasis, knowing that you're going to see a quarterback that can do the same thing that your quarterback has done to countless defenses.
Funny thing, you know, whenever you look at the stats before a game, you get a feel for, you know, how a team plays and what they rely on to succeed. But Gardner Webb's a little bit misleading. They average 209 games or 209 yards a game on the ground, but Maxwell makes a lot of those yards, and a lot of where he's really dangerous is on busted plays, plays that go awry.
Well, he's that guy that you put a star on and your defense prepares for. This team's only scoring about 18, 19 points per game to Kennesaw State's 33 points per game. You mentioned the 208 yards per game on the ground. Well, Kennesaw State's got 335 yards on the ground. So you can go through and check a lot of the boxes for Kennesaw State being higher as far as the average goes, but Gardner Webb's schedule is significantly more difficult.
No doubt.
Maybe we didn't see it at the beginning because Kennesaw State's played some teams that just haven't had great seasons so far, but Gardner Webb's been playing some. You know, and coaches will tell you, some of those non-conference games prepare you for conference games. Kennesaw State's going to have to be on their toes.
Yeah, and for Gardner Webb, they don't like to pass the ball. They're not really efficient at doing it. Last week, 8 of 27, 138 yards, but when they do complete it, they average 17 yards a completion. So, and a lot of that did come with them trying to get back in the game, but for Kennesaw State, you know they're going to come out, they want to run the ball, but you have to be aware that they're going to try to establish a little bit of a pass game early to try to limit themselves from being viewed as one-dimensional. So for Kennesaw State, come out, stop the pass, make them one-dimensional, then take away that one dimension.
And this is where a fast start really works in your favor, if you can build up a multiple score lead on these guys, because you just talked about the fact that, you know, they don't like to throw the ball. You're a team that pressures really, really well, and you've also got a secondary line on your linebackers, a secondary line in your defense that really flies to the football well. And I think it's a really big key for the Owls to get off to a fast start and build up a multiple scored lead in this one.
Yeah, and we all love football. We've seen, you know, teams have letdowns. It all plays down out on the field. Kennesaw State cannot have a letdown or a hangover, and it's going to be pretty evident early on, you know, how this team's going to come out. Are they hanging on to that Liberty victory? And it's, oh, just Gardner Webb, it's homecoming, but it's we beat the team that we wanted to beat. We circled in the preseason. Well, this is a big conference game too, and you want to neutralize that Liberty win. Fall to Gardner Webb here at home.
No doubt.
Yeah, the target's on your back now if you're Kennesaw State. The question was, you were supposed to be a co-champion. The question was, can you beat Liberty? You did beat Liberty. Now the conference is yours for the taking. As we said earlier, every game now, every conference game, will result in the biggest win in Kennesaw State history, leading towards winning that conference. But you have to win those games.
And this is where, again, I think being a player-led team plays in your favor, because not only are the coaches trying to prepare you and get you past any potential hangovers, oh, look what we did stuff, but you've got players that are in that mix also. And I think because of that, the Owls won't let that happen.
And, you know, Kennesaw State being 3-0 or 2-0 against Gardner Webb. Was it 3-0 against Gardner Webb?
2-0.
2-0, yeah, that's third. You know, that mindset can kind of come in, because guess what? Liberty wasn't the champion of the Big South. It was Charleston Southern. That's still ahead of you.
2 years in a row.
2 years in a row, yeah. It wasn't Liberty. That was the big name because they played some FBS programs, got the big win against Baylor. I think they played Virginia Tech close early last season. But, you know, Charleston Southern's still ahead of you. You can't let some of these undercard matches in the Big South derail you. You are the co-champion. Guess who's the co-champion with you? Charleston Southern. That's the game in front of you, but you got to take care of business and focus one game at a time. We hear coaches say it all the time.
Yep.
And Gardner Webb's your next game.
Kennesaw State was 0-2 versus Liberty going to their homecoming. They beat Liberty. Well, guess what? Gardner Webb's 0-2 against Kennesaw State coming to Kennesaw for their homecoming. Don't let what you did to Liberty happen to you.
And the other point that needs to be made is that while the Owls and Charleston Southern were the preseason favorites to be the champions, Presbyterian's off to a good start.
Right.
They played Charleston Southern right to the – they basically gave the game away, turning it over late in the game, and lost 7-0. And then on top of that, Monmouth, who at least in the computer rankings is ranked ahead of the Owls. Here's Monmouth at 5-1. So they're not going to be any gimmies. You're going to have to bring the same level of intensity, preparation, and be ready every week the rest of the way for that Charleston Southern game to even matter.
And those games are at home for Kennesaw State,
yeah.
which is I think, is big, playing them on your home field. But you also have another trip, a long trip out to Montana State.
Yeah, and a trip to Presbyterian.
And a trip to Presbyterian. And so, you know, this is kind of that focus game. I mean, they have focus Thursdays here at Kennesaw State. Gardner-Webb could be your focus game. You beat Liberty. Let's get focused on the task. You know, Gardner-Webb was down 24-3 against North Carolina Central and scored 14 points in the fourth quarter. This is not a team that's going to roll over and let you rub their belly. This is a team that's going to come in and fight all the way to the clock says zero.
There is a sense of urgency, and that's a good thing around this team, knowing that what's ahead, what's on the table for them. So you need to continue that sense of urgency. That last drive against North Greenville was the last, you know, moment of, hey, okay, we're cool. Now it needs to be 100% of the time. And you need to go out here start to finish and keep that sense of urgency alive, because one slip up means what you hope for to continue your season is gone. So with it all out on the table, it needs to be all out on the table, and the players need to have that, hey, this is what we're fighting for. We can't let it slip away at any point.
And if beating Liberty was turning the corner, you need to turn the corner and step on the gas, not turn the corner and coast. And I think the Owls know that. The player leaders will instill that, as will the coaches. This is the Final Word podcast. We do this every week. We'll, of course, have the broadcast for you Saturday night. That is a 7 o'clock or shortly thereafter kickoff Eastern time. And here in the Atlanta area, you can get it on 1230 The Fan 2, as well as 106.3 FM, and then online, get the broadcast at AtlantaSportsStation.com. You can punch up the 1230 The Fan 2 logo when you go to that page to get the broadcast beginning at 6:30. Nathan McCreary is alongside, as is Brandon Joseph. Tutan Reyes will be back for the game Saturday. He's off in New York doing other stuff, charity-related stuff. Bless him. But we carry on without him. And final thoughts, guys, as we wrap this up.
Well, Kennesaw State, you know, as the co-champion, they've got to do their business. They've got to handle their business. This is a team that's coming in, and they have 47% on third down for offense, and they're holding opponents to 30% on third down. That's what this defense is going to have to do. Get off the field, give your offense more opportunities and better chances to get down the field.
For Kennesaw State, I think they need to have that energy alive. It is homecoming. There's nothing really else going on around them in terms of college football to take the focus away from the student body, from the fans. So you need that energy, and you need to have it from the time you run out of that tunnel to the kickoff, to the first offensive series, to the first defensive stand. Keep that in the game and let Gardner-Webb look around at Fifth Third Bank Stadium, look across the field at Kennesaw State, and have that moment of realization that, hey, there's no way we win this game. This is too much of a bear to deal with in terms of this crowd.
Become the buzzsaw.
Their environment, the sidelines rocking, everybody's crazy. We can't win this game. That helps you on the field.
Fast start, for me, is the biggest key in this one, because as we've well chronicled and we've talked a lot about, Gardner-Webb's not a team that's especially adept at throwing the ball, and as much as Maxwell has the ability to improvise, you know, the two keys are fast start and possess the ball the way you've done, the same recipe that you've used, and the Liberty game certainly is a great example of that. Tune in every week for the Final Word podcast. Now, we're doing it from Fifth Third Bank Stadium here as we get ready for homecoming, the Owls, and the Running Bulldogs of Gardner-Webb. So, for Brandon Joseph and Nathan McCreary, I'm Brian Giffen from the booth here at Fifth Third, saying thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you Saturday, everybody. Fourth and four, Calvert back to throw, steps up in the pocket, airing it near side, it is batted away, and the Owls have come to Lynchburg and are going to salt this bad boy away. Going to beat the Liberty Flames for the first time and the last time in their Big South meetings, and the Owls are going to have a program-high five-game winning streak, and they will exorcise one of these demons, and there's still more to go. Snap to Burks, to the ground with a knee, and this one will end. The Kennesaw State Owls come to Liberty and beat the Flames for the first time. They improve to 5-1. It's a five-game winning streak, first ever in the history of this young program. that is on to bigger and better things, and this is a huge step in that process.